I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. Are vitamins as beneficial to your health as their bright labels lead you to believe? This hour, we'll look at the pros and cons of these nutrient-packed pills and see which vitamins you should keep on your shelf and which ones you should toss out. Later, the mayor of Mission joins us to talk about the news that her city gives out the most traffic tickets in the Kansas City area and why traffic enforcement is such a high priority. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. It's the king of traffic enforcement, the little city that writes more citations in a year than many suburbs three times its size. The Star says that little city is Mission on the Kansas side, and later this hour we'll ask the city's mayor if there's a quota system in place. But first up today, vitamins. My doctor just told me to stop taking my daily multivitamin after I'd been taking one for years, and he said don't bother with the fish oil either. That got us to wondering here about the latest thinking about vitamins and their value and how the thinking about vitamins appears to be changing. With us today is Dr. Jeannie Drisco. She's Director of Integrative Medicine at the University of Kansas Hospital. Dr. Drisco, so nice to have you.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning. Thank you.
Also here is Arwen Zygmunt McBroom. She's a supplement specialist for Nature's Own Health Food Store. Arwen, nice to have you too.
Thank you.
But first up, breaking this hour, expertise from SoftBank of Japan, the shareholders of Sprint Nextel Corporation have approved a $21.6 billion purchase offer from the Japanese company. We'll have more on this story later today on KCUR. Dr. Drisco, there's no question that we all need our vitamins, but there's a question about how much do we need, and don't we get enough in the foods that we eat naturally? What about that? How do you size all that up?
Well, I'd like to back up a little bit and talk about how this came about. And there was an editorial in the New York Times Dr. Paul Offit. And this was really a marketing piece for him. He also was on CNN in parallel talking about the same topic. And Dr. Offit has a new book that he's promoting, and it's Do You Believe in Magic? And he's trying to debunk all of the integrative medicine therapies, including multivitamin use on a daily basis. So this was an easy target. It gets a lot of attention when you say, oh, don't take the vitamins. Yeah. You're going to have more adverse events. You're going to have deaths that aren't reported, more deaths than Vioxx. So it gets a lot of publicity for the book.
Does he have a point?
Well, the point is that multivitamins are unnecessary, and seriously, the soil is depleted. That's documented. USDA website shows that most Americans are deficient in micronutrients. And then when you see an integrative medicine doctor, they generally do testing to evaluate if you need a vitamin or a mineral or those good fats that you were told to stop taking.
Yeah. So you're kind of split on the issue. You're saying it depends on the person, if I'm hearing you right.
That's correct. We always take, at KU Integrative Medicine, we always take it on a case-by-case basis. And we do find some people that are overdosed in fish oils.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I was surprised when my doctor told me to stop taking a multivitamin after so many years. And he also said stop taking the fish oil for other reasons. Do you think other doctors around the country are coming to the same realization? Is that sort of some new thinking that's out there?
Well, I don't think it's a realization. I think it was the marketing effort behind this book. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the physicians don't have time to read the research that we all see and follow very closely in the integrative medicine world.
You know, there are some fairly compelling studies that are out there. The New York Times, besides that piece you're referring to, mm-hmm. The New York Times has been writing about this. One review published in 2005 in the Annals of Internal Medicine found that in 19 trials of nearly 136,000 people, supplemental vitamin E increased mortality. Then there was this. In 2004, a review of 14 randomized trials for the Cochrane database found that the supplemental vitamins A, C, E, and beta-carotene and a mineral, selenium, taken to prevent intestinal cancers actually increase mortality. I don't know what half that stuff means, but I know it doesn't sound good, Doctor.
Well, the problem with some of these studies, and there are competing studies that show opposite effects of what you just described, but these particular studies used very high doses of, let's say, vitamin A without following necessarily the blood levels of vitamin A in a particular person. And the beta-carotene study that showed increased incidence of cancer, lung cancer, was also a synthetic beta-carotene, and it was used in smokers. So there's a lot of conflicting information. I think the bottom line is that with antioxidants in high doses, you do have to be careful. But again, life's a balance.
I was going to say, so we're tossing this around, and I imagine someone listening to this may be even more confused having listened to the first few minutes of the show. So if someone out there is trying to sort all this out, what should he or she do to sort it out, Doctor?
Well, I think they need to find a practitioner who's willing to measure that particular person's blood levels of good vitamins, minerals, and good fats, essential fatty acids, because those are building blocks of our body. We need them.
And when I have my annual physical and my blood is drawn, are those levels checked routinely as part of that physical?
No, unfortunately. Currently, vitamin D is now becoming very popular. And we in integrative medicine have been checking vitamin D levels for over 20 years. But now it's very popular and becoming mainstream. The essential fatty acids, the fish oil levels are just starting to be drawn and evaluated. So I see a day when we can shift to drawing these blood levels and providing this information to patients so they aren't out there taking things willy-nilly.
So right now, if I want to find out what my various levels are, I've got to ask for an additional test.
That's correct.
To have that done.
That's correct. But those tests are done at Quest or Mayo or KU Med Lab. I mean, these aren't unusual exotic tests.
These are routine tests.
These are routine tests. They've been around for a very long time.
Not necessarily all that costly, I gather, then.
They are usually not that costly. Some of the minerals can be. Selenium can be expensive at times to draw. It depends on the lab. But again, it's a very important micronutrient.
Okay. Let me get our listeners involved here. If you are listening to this conversation and maybe are confused as to how to proceed when it comes to your daily regimen of vitamins, our number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at @kcuruptodate. Arwin Zygmunt McBroom, you're with Nature's Own Health Food Store. How do you sort all this out when customers come into your stores and want to know what in the world they need to do to be healthy?
Well, most of the time we do try to get a little bit of background information as to why they're looking for certain nutrients, if their doctor has recommended something, or if they have any knowledge about vitamins in general. And then generally what myself and my associates try to do is really emphasize good nutrition habits before even talking about the vitamins that they may or may not want to take.
Mm-hmm.
The main point that we try to emphasize is that they should be getting their vitamins from their food. And only when we get into conversations about maybe special needs, if their doctor has recommended a certain vitamin, or if they're dealing with, you know, a certain period of stress or anything that would compromise their system, then we can talk about which vitamins to take.
I'm wondering, if short of having the blood test that Dr. Driscoll was just talking about, how do you know what somebody really needs?
Well, that we kind of leave up to our customers. I mean, as associates at our store, we are not allowed to give any kind of medical advice.
Yeah.
We basically give information about the products that we sell, how they're manufactured, the ingredients that are in them. We don't try to address individual concerns that the people have as far as what they need.
You know, Dr. Driscoll, again, just so I'm trying to cut through all this, short of walking into a vitamin store and having this blood test in hand, I'm sort of shooting darts in the dark, aren't I? I mean, I don't really know for sure what I need or what I'm doing there, right?
Well, there is some guidance from the USDA website, and they have looked at a very large number of typical average Americans' blood levels and found deficiencies broadly from everything from vitamins through all of the minerals. And they're finding a great deal of deficiency in the American public at this time. And as was mentioned, the food supply is really the first go-to place for your vitamins. But the processed foods are so abysmal. And there's a wonderful book, Sugar, Salt, and Fat, and that book really outlines how the food industry has damaged our food supply.
You know, public radio listeners tend to be very aware people. They tend to be oftentimes very healthy people. I'm wondering if you're eating a good, balanced diet, you're buying your food on the rim of the grocery store, not from the center of the grocery store, do you need to be worried about your vitamin levels?
We still see deficiencies in those people that eat from the rim of the grocery store.
Yeah. So they need to get a test, bottom line.
I think that would be helpful if they're really concerned. I think a blood test is the best. But that being said, a good insurance policy is a simple multivitamin that doesn't have a lot of medicinal plants or other ingredients in it.
Yeah. Arwin, go ahead.
Well, one point that I wanted to make, just because in his article, Dr. Offit, I believe, tried to put a little bit of fear into people about taking multivitamins, is that the multivitamins that you're going to find in a health food store undergo GMP, the good manufacturing processes, to make sure that they, and that's a very regimented list of requirements that they have to meet. And so there is going to be a certain level of quality that you're going to get from vitamins, but also little danger of overdosing. You know, he's talking about these very high mega doses in these studies and very isolated nutrients that they're studying, which is not going to be the case in a multivitamin. And then also a big difference in what we try to promote at our store is the what is known as a whole food vitamin in our industry. And basically that is nutrients that are obtained from food bases and food sources. So when you're taking this vitamin, you're getting whole food concentrates that your body is going to recognize as a food. It's going to absorb it as a food, utilize it as a food. And you don't have to worry about these mega overdoses of one nutrient.
Doctor, what is the danger of overdosing on any one vitamin? What do we know about that?
Well, there's a very wide window of safety for vitamins, unlike some pharmaceutical medications that have a very narrow therapeutic window. We see a very wide window. So even if you took vitamin D in mega doses for a very long time, the untoward effect does not occur for many, many months down the road. So that there is a great deal of safety and leeway in the mega doses. But most people we see are not taking mega doses of vitamins.
Okay. Lots of phone calls when it comes to vitamins and their use. Let's go to some calls right now. Let's go to Dustin from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Dustin.
My question was how long the blood tests are accurate for, if you had to take them frequently or if they would give you an accurate picture of the vitamin levels just over a short period of time?
That's a great question.
Yeah, it is.
Those tests are generally pretty accurate. We try and look at the storehouse of the vitamins, and if a person has a pretty consistent diet, then they're going to be accurate for months. And if someone's in a very good range, then we don't check again for maybe another year.
Okay, great.
Dustin, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Susan from Kansas City North. Our number here, 816-235-2888. Susan, you're on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. I don't take fish oil because of the heavy metals that are in the ocean. What I take for my omega-3s are is DHA that's derived from algae, and I wondered what your folks thought of it. And I have one more question after that I just thought of.
Arwin, go ahead.
Well, I can address that. I am actually a vegetarian, and so I do not take the fish oil either. I believe that getting the fish oil from, the omegas from algae is a reliable source. You don't have to worry about the contaminants as much as you do in fish oil or the processing that fish oil undergoes to clean it. Most of the fish oil on the market is removed and tested for these heavy metals, but that does entail a lot of processing. The only thing that I have noticed about the DHA from algae is that the levels are a bit lower. But again, that gets into what is generally recommended for these dosages are possibly, and I would refer to Dr. Driscoll, maybe not what we are, not the levels that we necessarily need.
Yeah, Susan, hang on a second.
Sure.
What about the fish oil thing? Because you hear different things about fish oil, too. Just you buy it in bulk from Costco or wherever, and mm-hmm. people raise questions about that. How concerned should people be?
Every consumer has the right to ask for a certificate of analysis from the company. And let's a particular fish oil company, if you're concerned, you call the company and you ask for a current certificate of analysis. And we do that as well as send products out for independent verification because that's part of my interest is determining safety and really what's on the label is in the bottle.
But short of asking for that and taking that step, which hardly anybody does, I'm guessing, what should consumers know about fish oil?
Well, there is a possibility of being contaminated with mercury from the ocean. It is in high levels, and it is a concern. But there are some companies that have product that do not have high contamination of mercury.
Okay. Is there a certain level people should be aware of when they look at the back of a bottle? And
they won't have that on the back of the bottle. The
normal fish oil has got 360 milligrams per dose.
Okay.
And DHA is 900 milligrams
that's
per
the
dose
amount
of omega-3s.
That's the amount of the actual good fat. But
right.
They won't tell you how much mercury is in it, for example.
No. They won't. Are you kidding me? That kind of sway people away from it.
Yeah.
If possible, salmon oil is a good alternative just because a lot of salmon, well, you have to look into where it's caught, but a lot of salmon, you can get wild-caught salmon from Alaska where the waters are generally cleaner, and so there's less concern about the contaminants.
Is that more expensive?
Not necessarily. No, I mean, it is more expensive than the fish oil you're going to get at Costco or Walmart, but it's definitely worth it for the difference in quality.
All right. Susan, you had a second question. I'm sorry.
Yeah. My daughter has Asperger's, and her doc is recommending that I give her DHEA, 25 milligrams a day, but everything I read says you shouldn't give DHEA to a little kid or someone under the age of 18. What is the doc's opinion?
What is DHEA?
It's a hormone precursor. And it's in the line from cholesterol downstream to DHEA down to estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, cortisol. So it's a key hormone in our body. And it's taken over the counter. And generally, women don't need more than 10 milligrams. And those are teenagers and up over 10 milligrams. And men usually don't need more than 25 milligrams. Unfortunately, some of the bodybuilders take as much as 100 or more a day.
Right,
and then they pump up with it. And so it has untoward effects. So it's something you'd want to be cautious about. And again, if possible, if you're going to use it, measure it in the bloodstream or in the urine.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that recommendation. That helps my confidence with the next visit.
All right, Susan, thank you for your call today.
Uh-huh.
Well, I gather the bottom line then, Arwin, is that consumers need to spend a little time and do a little research about the stuff they're putting in their bodies. I guess that's where we're coming down here today, right?
Oh, definitely. I would recommend that anybody just learn more about what they want to take. You know, don't take anybody's word for it. A lot of the information that's out there is put out by a certain company to promote their product, and that's not what we should be basing what we put our body.
Where are some good, reliable websites that people can go look at for unbiased, straightforward information? Yeah, doctor.
At the NIH, National Institutes of Health, there is an organization, the Office of Dietary Supplements, and they have actually just listed on their website over 1,000 different products and what's on the label of those products. So the ODS, it's a wonderful resource. And there's also information at ODS about specific supplements and at National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine Specific Supplements.
And as always on our show, we'll put a link to that website on our website. Just go to kcur.org and click on our program, Up to Date. Let's go to John from Kansas City, Missouri. John, welcome to the show. Our topic today, vitamins. Good morning.
Yes, thank you. I've got a question about three items that maybe they could give some comment on. One is turmeric. Turmeric, that may be how it's said. Another is bilberry. And the third would be something you get in a health food store, like that could be used for anti-inflammation, would be some kind of a cherry juice concentrate. I'd just like to get their thoughts on those three
things. Yeah, John, why don't you hang on the phone, just make sure we get all your items.
Very good.
How about
very
turmeric?
Good.
Sure, turmeric and
turmeric,
yeah, or turmeric. People say it both ways. Just as a little side note, when we start getting into discussions about herbs, we're talking about a completely different group than the vitamins and multivitamins that.
What's the difference between an herb and a vitamin?
Well, it's the vitamins are obtained from food sources, but they do have different compounds, different actions in the body. And then also, as far as what is on the shelves, there is less synthetic availability of herbs.
Yeah.
I'd just like to add that we call herbs medicinal plants because we see those as being closer to the pharmaceuticals. They provide a medicine effect. So they should be taken for a specific reason, for a specific amount of time.
Definitely.
So let's tick off John's questions here. Turmeric, then, what do you think?
Well, turmeric is generally bought as an anti-inflammatory. But, again, with all of these, I would recommend talking to your doctor before you take them. And that's when it is so important to find a doctor who is willing to discuss these kind of treatments with you, because I believe they can have tremendous benefits, but you do have to be careful in combining them with prescription medications because they can have a very profound action on the body.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have somebody who is knowledgeable in herbs as well as your prescription medicine. And that's why I just think that there needs to be more education in general.
Bilberry?
Same thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why the gentleman on the phone is taking it, but
well, because I'm a diabetic and I'm taking it to make sure my eyes don't have problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of people take it for that reason.
I remember in World War II, the British pilots took bilberry because of night flying, but you know that was the one reason it was used.
Well, I feel that with herbs, barring if you are taking prescription medications and they are having possible interactions, that there is a good deal of safety as well involved in taking these herbs. Most of the dosages are not going to be very high. And
How about the cherry juice concentrate he asked about?
That even more so as far as the safety of it, just because you're drinking a juice, and aside from the fact that you're getting sugar from the juice, you know, you're not taking a concentrated form in a supplement.
Well, okay, that's more like what I meant, like a pill form, not the...
Oh, I'm sorry. I see a lot of benefit when people come in and take the cherry juice. You know, we have repeat customers who will come back in and say that it's working for them. So that's basically what I refer to is people's repeat.
Yeah. John, thank you for the call. Lisa from Kansas City, Missouri. Lisa, you're on the air.
Yes, you touched a little bit on part of my question about inflammation and a related question about general muscle tightness. Is it possible for someone who eats well and takes care of themselves, if they have overall muscle tightness, is there a depletion in some vitamin or mineral that's possible?
Dr. Driscoll?
When we test people and they often have this kind of a complaint or some generalized body achiness, we see a pattern of loss of nutrients. And one of the most profound is magnesium. Magnesium is lost in our very active, stressful, current lifestyle, and that's one of the most important micronutrients to keep the muscles open and soft and And so that's important there. But you can get a lot of magnesium in leafy greens and fruits and vegetables.
So do you suggest getting it through food instead of a supplement?
I think it depends. Again, if you're eating well and you're still having symptoms, maybe supplementation with a little bit of magnesium will not hurt.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Kelly from Olathe. Kelly, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to add a question. I'm pregnant, and I have terrible morning sickness this time. I'm only 10 weeks now, but I lost 6 pounds the first month because of throwing up so much. And I was wondering, last time I took vitamin B6, and it just completely destroyed my nausea. This time I took it, and it didn't touch it. And my husband's British, and my mother-in-law in England told me to go to this Australian doctor's website, and I did, and he recommended some type of a combination between a very small dosage of vitamin B6 and Unisom. And I took this combination, I started the Unisom, and the next day, I didn't throw up at all. I had no more morning sickness. I can function again. And I wonder why, I just wondered, we know that iron, if I take a vitamin with iron in it, I will throw up. But it's, my question is, why does vitamin B6 tend to help morning sickness? I just don't understand how these things affect my body, and especially since I'm pregnant, it just blows me away that something so simple can work better than Zofran. So I'll take my answer off air. Thank you.
All right, Kelly. Thanks.
Well, B6, we're actually in the middle of studying B6 in an animal model at KU Med Integrative Medicine with our research partners. And we're looking at the effects of B6 on the nervous system, both from peripheral nervous system all the way up to the brain. So it's a very exciting research project, and we're going to translate that into humans. But we have seen this effect in humans. So we believe the B6 effect is on the neurologic system.
You know, I'm just wondering, you know, where we are on sort of the continuum here, how much medical science truly understands about all of this. I mean, if my veteran, experienced doctor is saying don't take a multivitamin, others are saying take it, you know, I'm just wondering sort of where we are. If 100 is full understanding of all this stuff, it sounds to me like we're still in the 30-40 range. Dr. Driscoll, am I right about that?
Well, unfortunately, all of these things began to be studied in the 30s and 40s, and several Nobel Prizes were based on these vitamins and minerals. And then interest in the study of these micronutrients fell off because of the ascendancy of vaccines and of antibiotics. You know, and those are very important things. But we've also lost sight of what's down in the roots of our trees, you know, so to speak, as if you can make that analogy of us as a tree.
Yeah.
We need to get back down in the roots.
You know, Arwin, I'm just wondering, when people come into Nature's Own health food store, are you seeing changes in people's buying habits? Are there trends differing from year to year these days?
Well, I would say that overall vitamin sales have increased most definitely. And it's interesting. We were just taking a note of our sales at our store, and it seems to be that B vitamins are very popular, which connects with this call. And I feel personally that that's more because people are so tired and are looking for something to energize them. But I think to address your conversation about where we are with vitamins and our knowledge of them, it's very unfortunate that right now what is being studied, and in Dr. Offit's piece again, what those studies were using are synthetic vitamins and synthetic nutrients. And what has been such a relief in my line of work is that people seem to be more aware of the difference between these, that what you buy at the major chain stores are synthetic nutrients. They are not what your body can properly utilize and may possibly have more harmful effects.
That's interesting. You know, you mentioned the NIH a little bit ago, Dr. Driscoll. Where is the Food and Drug Administration on all of this? If I go dancing around, you know, that website, am I going to learn a lot of stuff or not really?
Well, there actually are multiple bills giving the FDA teeth to go after unscrupulous manufacturers and products.
Yeah.
So they have the legislative authority to do that. And often you'll hear this, oh, the FDA doesn't have the authority. But that's not accurate. There's been 7 to 9 bills since 1990 giving FDA more authority. But in terms of finding information, that's not their job. Their job is a regulatory job.
All right. I want to thank Dr. Jeannie Driscoll. She's Director of Integrative Medicine at the University of Kansas Hospital, and Arwin Zygmunt McBroom. She's a supplement specialist for Nature's Own Health Food Store. Thank you both for coming in.